Welcome to Torah Rimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman, and today we will be studying Tehillim Perek Beis. Both Perek Aleph and Beis 1 and 2 serve as the opening and introduction to Tehillim, and Chazal in Gemara Brachos 9b actually see these two prakim, these chapters, as one. We began Perek Aleph with the words Ashrei Ha'ish, and Perek Beis concludes with the phrase Ashrei Kol Chosei Bo, praised are all those who trust in him. These words bookend what is ostensibly one elongated chapter, addressing the themes of righteousness and evil amongst the people, and then between nations. So let's use the metaphor, first Google Street, and then we zoom out for a Google Earth view. After describing the righteous person and his ultimate success and the evildoers and their eventual fall and demise, Perek Beis continues answering the classic question, so then why do the wicked prosper? Why are they successful? The Perek describes how, in fact, their success is short-lived and that ultimately they will meet their doom. Even if we don't see their fall, ultimately, in messianic times, Hashem and his glory will triumph in the world. The Perek can be looked at both through the lens of David's life when he was appointed the king of Israel and in light of messianic times. The elasticity of Tehillim, the timelessness, is what allows us to connect with our own experiences while still understanding the words in the context of our national past and our national future. David, in his greatness and his genius, was able to capture the timelessness of experiences and transcend the now to allow us to relate to past, present, and future with the same words. This parak consists of 12 verses, divided into four sections, each with three psukim, three verses. We hear the voices of different groups speaking to others. In this first section, in Psukim 1 to 3, the nations of the world speak out against Hashem and his anointed. Second section, Psukim 4 to 6, Hashem speaks to the nations. In the third section, 7 to 9, the king speaks and shares the words of Hashem spoken to him. And finally, in the fourth section, Psukim 10 to 12, Yud to Yud Beis, the king or the psalmist speaks to the nations. So in short, the theme of this parak is conversation. So let's listen in. Pasuk Aleph. Lama ragshu gayim ule'umim yagurik. Why do the peoples assemble and the nations plot in vain? Supporting Chazal's description of Perek Beis as a continuation of Perek Aleph, the parak jumps right in with the word why. Why do the nations gather? The Malbim makes a distinction between the word goyim, or peoples, who are bound by physical proximity, to the word umim, nations, who are like-minded citizens who speak together, who are bound by groupthink, but all is in vain and all is purposeless. Their evil continues. Yisyatzfu malchei eretz v'roznim nastu yachad. The kings of the earth take their stand and the princes conspire secretly. They gather together, as described in Pasuk Beis, plotting, nostu, from the word sod, secret, as suggested by Rashi, or conspiring and coming up with plans, as suggested by Radak, from the word yisod, foundation, building a foundation for future actions, and they're doing this yachad, together, assembling, plotting, taking a stand, conspiring. What is this plan? What evil are they hatching? The end of Pasuk Beis tells us, Al Hashem va'al Mashicho, against Hashem and his anointed. If it refers to the past, David is speaking about himself, or if in the future, Mashiach. So what are they fighting against? Let's take a look at Pasuk Gimel 3. Ninatka es mosrosemo v'nashlicha mimenu avosemo. Let us break the cords of his yoke, shake off his ropes from ourselves. Why are they fighting against Hashem and his anointed? They have one goal, to free themselves from the sovereignty of one God. Mosros, a limiting bond, has the same root word as the word musar, discipline. And avos, with an ayin, are ropes that are used to bind an animal to a cart or plow, to allow the animal to do its duties. These nations want to break free. Ninatka is to forcibly break apart. These nations want to wrench themselves away from the obligations of discipline and of duty. What they're really saying is, we don't want to be constrained. We don't want to be told what to do, when to do it, and we don't want to follow moral and ethical laws. We need to break loose, and we don't want to be bound. Hashem responds, really? Do you really think you can just break loose? Hashem looks down from above, and we know from military strategy that the one on top has the advantage. Hashem sits. Sitting, according to the Radak, suggests a permanence and an enduring kingship. He looks down and he laughs. Yoshev b'shamayim yischak, Adonai yilag lamo. He who is enthroned in the heavens laughs, the Lord who will mock them. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah brings this pasuk as a source when he discusses God's lack of a body or human form. He says, he doesn't sit, he doesn't stand. Therefore, all descriptions of Hashem's actions in the Torah and the prophets are merely parables and allegories, such as the description in our pasuk, Yoshev b'shamayim yischak. He who is enthroned in heaven laughs, the Lord mocks at them. And he will then speak to the nations in anger, and his fury will terrify them. Azidaberi lemo ba'apho, v'charono yivaha lemo. Va'ni nasachti malki, al tzion har kadshi. I myself have anointed my king over Zion, my holy mountain. How dare you, Hashem says. I myself have anointed my king, on Tzion, my holy mountain. How dare you dispute his kingship if I myself, God, have anointed him? Tzion, while an actual mountain in Yerushalayim, throughout Tehillim is used to refer to Yerushalayim itself, and is in fact the term used more than Yerushalayim in Tehillim. Tzion is a token, a marker, as Rav Hirsch says, a memorial for mankind, which represents the allegiance to Hashem's laws. This pasuk, if looked at through the lens of David's life, is referring to the Plishtim who attacked David. But Hashem says, because you attack him, I will further establish his kingship, reinforcing his power even more. And now David responds, Asapra elchok Hashem amar elai b'ni ata, ani hayom ilidaticha. I am obliged to proclaim, says David, that Hashem said to me, you are my son. I have begotten you this day. Asapra elchok. Chok, according to Rashi, it's my obligation to speak out. Chok being a law. Mitsudos David traces the word chakuk, engraved or inscribed, which is connected to the word asapra from the word sefer, meaning to say it is inscribed, it's etched, it's engraved in the book with a sense of permanence. I'm going to proclaim, says David, what is already inscribed in the written Torah, that Israel is God's son. Or this refers to David as the leader of Israel, who is referred to Bini Bechori Yisrael, my son, my eldest Israel. Sha'al mimeni vetna goyim nachalasecha v'achuzascha afse aretz. Ask it of me, and I will make the nations your domain, your estate, the limits of the earth. As a father, David is saying what Hashem says to him, you can ask me anything, and you're entitled to an inheritance as my son. Tiro'im b'sheva barzel k'chli yotzer tinaptzeim. You will smash them with a rod of iron and shatter them like a potter's ware. If you look closely at this pasuk, the word tiro'im, you'll see the word ro'eh, shepherd. The Das Mikra suggests that if the nations cooperate, he will lead them with a shepherd's crook. But if not, it will be a shevet barzel, the iron rod. So far, we've heard from the kings why they reject Hashem, Hashem's reaction to their words and actions, and David's intimate relationship with Hashem. And now, finally, the last section. The king, psalmist, David, turns to the nations and says to them, be smart, be disciplined, serve Hashem with awe. Vatamelachim, haskilu, hivasru shovtei aretz. Notice the word, hivasru, from the same root word as mosro semo. That discipline that you rejected at the start of the perek, the cords that you threw off, serve Hashem through discipline and through duty. The pasuk continues, ivdu es Hashem biyira vigilu bira'ada. Serve Hashem in awe so that you may rejoice when there is trembling. The Gemara asks, what is the meaning of rejoice with trembling? Joy and trembling seem to be contradictory. One understanding is that if you serve Hashem in awe, then that will give you license to rejoice. Later, though, in Tehillim Perek Kuf, Perek 100, it says that we should serve Hashem with joy. How do we understand this? The Medrash in Perek Kuf says that in this world, we are charged to serve Hashem through awe. But once we are in the next world, when we see the divine plan, our awe will be replaced with joy, the joy of clarity of Hashem in this world. The pasuk continues, charging the kings with their duty as to how to connect with Hashem. Nashku var penya enaf v'sov duderech ki yivar kimat apo. Yearn for purity, lest God grow wrathful and your way be doomed, for in a brief moment his anger will blaze. We see a parallel between the phrase in Perek Aleph, Derech Rishaim Toved, the way of the evildoers will be lost, and the phrase here in our Pasuk, Vesov Du Derech, and they will be lost on the way. You see, for the individual, the path of lawlessness leads to destruction, but the men remain to hopefully find paths of truth and goodness. But when nations are based on sin and violence, these evildoers will perish on the way. So let's review the conversations we've just heard. The nations of the world speak out against Hashem and his anointed. Hashem speaks to the nations. The king speaks and shares the words of Hashem spoken to him. And finally, the king, or the psalmist, speaks to the nations. The perek is about conversations. And while at some level the nations of the world do not recognize Hashem and want to break away from his yoke, there is still a conversation. I'd like to suggest that this is a hopeful message, because when there is a conversation, there is possibility and hope. Hope for, in this case, Hashem's sovereignty over the world, and for a reality where Hashem rules the world in which good triumphs. The Medrash Tehillim shares that every chapter that was dear to David, he began with Ashrei and concluded with Ashrei. He opened with Ashrei, praiseworthy, as it is written, Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, in Perek Aleph. And he concluded with Ashrei, as it is written in Perek Beis, Ashrei Kol Chosevo, praiseworthy are all those who trust in him. In a world that is confusing and challenging with so many questions and few answers, we are given the gift of closure when we see in the end that Hashem and his mission triumphs. Perek Aleph and Beis of Tehillim present us with a beginning and end. We say Ashrei, praiseworthy, the same Ashrei, praiseworthy for the individual man who follows the ways of Hashem, and Ashrei praiseworthy on a more global level to those who put their trust in him. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Svi Yosef.